An empty train at night puts Frankie in the mind of Hitchcock, of Wharton, of James. He loves the grimy rumble over miles of desolation, the potential secret of the mustached conductor, removing his gloves, the lonely tolling of the bells as they chug past abandoned stations. Frankie is his best self on an empty train. He can read undistracted, recollect his emotions in tranquility. Everywhere else, his dissertation shoots up around him thick and noisy and unchartable as a rainforest. But on an empty train, he's a conquistador, out for blood and order. A rainforest seems downright pleasant compared to the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Amtrak Northeast Direct, and if the crush and smells and constant shoving put him in the mind of anyone, it's no literary figure, try Manson or Wayne Gacy or Mussolini. Mostly he feels as though he's being slowly lobotomized over the course of the wobbly 7-hour trek from Boston to Wilmington. Around the time the train pulls away from New Haven, site of yet another famous university at which Frankie will never present a paper on modern psychology and post-colonialism or whatever his dissertation is ultimately about, when a duffel bag falls from the overhead compartment and lands on his head. "Oh no, that's mine," says a girl behind him. "Jesus Christ," Frankie says, clutching his skull. He picks up the bag, which weighs about 6 tons, and hands it to her. "Are you transporting gold bullion or something?" "I'm so sorry," she says. His first thought is that this girl looks like a Bryn Mawr tennis player, silky brown hair and a ponytail, lots of makeup, white mohair sweater. A gold cross hangs from a chain over the fuzzy turtleneck. His second thought is that bullion is an extremely dorky word to utter in her presence. "It's okay," he says. "I'm still conscious." "Inasmuch as any of us are conscious," she says, as she stuffs the bag back in the overhead. "Excuse me?" "I noticed you were reading Being and Nothingness," she says. Being and Nothingness, face down on Frankie's lap before the duffel bag bombing, now glares up at him from the floor. The pages are dog-eared with yellow slips of paper sticking out from the sides. "We just did that in philosophy," she says. "I bet you actually understand it. I wrote a paper once called For Itself, In Itself, By Myself," he says. "I got a C+. She's a senior at Boston College, she tells him, en route to her family's place outside Philly. In 4 years of college, she's never missed a holiday, birthday, baptism, confirmation, or wedding. The day she graduates, she's moving back to find a job as a middle school teacher. "What a regrettable era of life," he says. "Please tell me you're teaching kids to erase it from their minds." "That's the thing," she says, her eyes suddenly silver dollar wide. "It doesn't have to be so bad. They're doing amazing things with that age these days, especially in language arts. Have you read John Gogan or Atwell's In the Middle?" He shakes his head. "It's this new way of teaching where kids write letters to each other and keep journals and publish their stories, not just spit back spelling words. Kids don't even sit in rows anymore." "How do they sit?" "In pods," she says. "Pods?" She laughs. "Group learning and cooperation build self-esteem and make better citizens."